Welcome back to Sermons. This is episode number 73, and we're picking up the story in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. And Moses is still talking about blessings and curses. You know, the blessings that the people will receive if they follow Yahweh, and the curses that Yahweh will inflict on them if they don't. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. That probably ought to be the outmost parts under heaven or something like that, not of heaven. Yeah, translators missed that one. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart, so to speak, and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, already knew it was a book, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. And that's the end of chapter 30. But it's not the end of Moses' long-winded sermonizing, so let's go on to chapter 31 when he will continue. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. Now notice, Yahweh obviously isn't omnipresent, because he can go over into these other nations and destroy them. He's not already there. He travels from one place to another. Now, whether he travels in person, on foot, or, you know, in a tank or in a rocket ship, whatever, or he goes in the ark. He's traveling from one place to another. You know, he says he will go over before thee. You know, this is along with Joshua, and will destroy these nations from before thee. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. You can destroy them, in other words. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua, and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. So Moses is publicly passing the torch to Joshua, so that they'll all know that he's the one in charge now. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. I guess that's how they knew, or he knew, that it was a book, because he wrote it down and delivered it to be published. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. They're going to read the book, you know, when the people come to appear before the Lord thy God, before Yahweh, or, you know, the Yahweh Elohim, before some Yahwehian representative. Now, and see, this is another example of them, you know, not being omnipresent. They are going to set up headquarters somewhere, and the people have to go and appear before them. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua, and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud. And the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. This sounds like a hologram. We've discussed this before. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day, for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they turned unto other gods than himself, you know. which seems to imply that these gods exist in the same way that he does, that Yahweh does, or that Yahweh did, at least. Now, therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves, and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods, and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. He's so negative. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So Yahweh gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge. Now Joshua the son of Nun in Hebrew is Yehoshua ben Nun. Keep that in mind. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. So evidently, there was a compartment built into the side of the ark. Now, I don't remember that being mentioned in the instructions that were given, whatever the guy's name was that built it. You know, it went over all the instructions, the verbal blueprint, so to speak. But what else did these verses fail to mention? For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Now it's Moses being negative. And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And that's the end of chapter 31. Chapter 32, verse 1, begins the song. You know, everything up to here was prologue. 32 is the song that he's supposed to teach Israel. Here we go. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves, their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will shew thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. Now this next verse, very important. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, this makes it sound like the nations were divided, you know, among the tribes of Israel or according to the tribes of Israel. But the Septuagint, which was one of the earliest translations of the Hebrew Bible, it doesn't say the children of Israel. It says the sons of the gods, Bene Elohim, instead of sons of Israel, Bene Israel. Now, I don't know why the King James changes sons to children, unless, you know, it was some sort of early 17th century political correctness. They didn't want to be sexist or something. The Hebrew word ben means son of, like in Ben-Hur, you know, which means son of Hur. The main character in the book and the movie Ben-Hur was not named Ben. His name was Judah. Judah Ben-Hur, meaning Judah, the son of Hur. Ben-Hur is a family name, just like the English names Johnson, which means the son of John, or even Dixon, which means the son of Dick. Well, not necessarily a first-generation son, but a descendant. You know, Judah Ben-Hur's sons wouldn't have been named Ben-Judah. They would have carried that Ben-Hur name forward. Let's look at the Septuagint translation of this verse. Well, we can't do that directly, because the Septuagint's in Greek and I don't read or speak Greek. But there are English translations of the translation. The one I have is Brenton's from the mid-1800s. It renders this verse as, "When the Most High divided the nations, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the nations according to the number of the angels of God." Not according to the number of the children of Israel, but according to the number of the angels of God. So, did this at one point in the Hebrew say Bene Elohim rather than Bene Israel? The literal translation would be sons of Israel or sons of, well, the gods, actually, sons of the gods, but I would settle for the sons of God, same as in Genesis 6, which in the King James Version says, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and so on. We've been over that many times. The Hebrew there was Bene Ha-Elohim, and it referred to the watchers, the so-called angels, fallen angels, who were literally the sons of the gods. We can only assume that the Hebrew source material the Septuagint translators were working with said Bene Ha-Elohim, or something similar, instead of Bene Israel. You know, there's no way those translators would have confused Israel and Elohim, even though they both have the word El in there, meaning God. So somebody corrected the Hebrew between the 3rd century BC, when the Septuagint translation was done, and the early 1600s, when the King James translation was done. Now, another interesting thing about this verse is the term Most High. You know, the Most High divided the nations. The Hebrew word that's translated as Most High is Elyon. And it indicates a singular God, El. The Most High El. The El who is in charge. But notice this El is not Yahweh. It's somebody above Yahweh in the chain of command. Yahweh is one of the sons of the gods who gets a particular nation assigned to him, the nation of Israel. They were his chosen people, but he didn't choose them. Elyon chose them. Elyon, the Most High, chose Israel for Yahweh. Now, in the Sumerian pantheon, Elyon corresponds to the sky god Anu, the source of the name Anunnaki. Yahweh is Enlil, Anu's son, not his eldest son, but his eldest son by his primary wife, Ki. Anu and Ki, Anunnaki. Anu's eldest son was actually Enki, but he didn't rank quite as highly as Enlil because his mother wasn't Anu's primary wife, or his primary wife on earth anyway. And he is represented as a serpent, both in the Sumerian iconography and in Genesis, in the story of the Garden of Eden. Now, spoiler alert, this serpent god, Enki, was really the good guy. You know, the champion of the people who saved mankind from destruction by Enlil slash Yahweh, on at least two occasions. But let's not go into all that right now. We've been over that before. Let's go on. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Jacob, aka Israel. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange god with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs, and rams of the breed of Bashan, and goats with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape, which is okay to do, as long as it's blood of grapes and not animals. But Yeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Yeshurun means Israel. Israel waxed fat, etc. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. The King James Version says devils, but most translations say demons here. And one of the meanings of demon is fallen angel. So, could be talking about the watchers here. Not sure. Could be. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Interesting that Yahweh is called a rock here. Maybe that's where the term rock of ages come from. It's also interesting, if I'm right about Yahweh being Enlil, that he actually wants to take credit for the creation of man when it was really his half-brother Enki who did the actual engineering. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn upon the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, Our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000, and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up? So he's predicting that other armies will have an easy time with them, just as they had an easy time with other armies when they were obeying him. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, their clusters are bitter, their wine is the poison of dragons, or serpents in other translations, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. For the Lord shall judge his people and repent himself for his servants when he seeth that their power is gone, and there is none shut up or left. And he shall say, Where are their gods, their rock in whom they trusted, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings? Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Now this is Yahweh talking here, well, in Moses' song. And when he says, there is no God with me, he seems to be saying, you know, I'm not allied with any other gods. I don't make alliances with any other gods because I'm powerful enough on my own. I'm going to be the supreme being. You know, I got assigned this puny little nation, Israel, but I'm just going to take over the whole earth at some point. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. I will make mine arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and that with the blood of the slain and of the captives. From the beginning of revenges upon the enemy. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people. For he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. That's the end of the song. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea the son of Nun. Must be an alternate spelling of Joshua. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to Israel. And he said unto them, Set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain, Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. And that's all we have time for in this episode. We'll pick it up here next time at this very point, and we'll try to finish Deuteronomy, which will finish off the Torah, the Pentateuch. Until then, keep the faith. Keep singing the song of Moses, and keep serving the God that Elyon the Most High assigned to you.